Thank you for that prayer. If there's this many tangled lines on Captain Jim Downing's ship, you might get a court-martial. I appreciate those bright lights because I can see better. My reflection up here might be a little tough on you. The cream and stuff that I use on my hair to keep it in place might shine. Both of them. Fellas, I want to say how glad I am to be here. God has been so good. Mike expressed his appreciation last night of being with you, and it's just such a privilege to be with men and young men, and to see young men taking hold. I just rejoiced as Dr. Moore preached to us a Thursday night, a younger man, and Mike last night, and tonight you're going to have a fellow preach. He may not be all that young, but he's good. And tomorrow, it's just wonderful. Our time this morning is, you should have a, do you have a little outline with you? Do you have an outline on the seat? Walking in victory through the word? I can't see you down there. Do you have it? No, you don't have it. It's not on your seat. Hey, ushers, find Jack Hespelt and see if we can get an outline for these folks. There's plenty. Colossians 2:6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. 7. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. We come to Christ by receiving him. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We received Christ. We made that commitment. We made that decision. Well, Paul is exhorting us, after you've received, as you have received, walk in Christ. A couple of weeks ago, we had some guests for dinner on Saturday night. Very fine Christian couple. And naturally, we got to talking about our children. They had two children, two girls, 20 and 21. And the mother, the wife, began to tell us about the children. And the 21 had been making some bad decisions. She had been going out with a fella, and he would drink and offer buy her a drink, and she never had a drink of whiskey in her life. And she just keeps going out with this guy, and she keeps this kind of company. And as the story went on, and she got more and more excited, and she said, "I just can't believe it. She wasn't raised this way. We took her to church. We prayed with her. We read her stories. We read the Bible. She made a commitment, and she got she was really into it." And of course, I sympathized with her. I wanted to say welcome to the club, but I didn't. As she began to wind down, I said, "Well, you know," I called her by her name, "we come from sinful stock. Last time Dr. Graham was in town, he pointed out here talking about sinners, and he made a point. He says, you know, when I point this out here like this, you sinners, I've got three fingers pointing back at me. He says, I'm a sinner. I come from sinful stock." And he quoted verses. "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. How are we coming with the handouts?
They're coming.
Yes? No.
They're coming.
But they're not here yet. I think we should put some of these guys on straight salary, you know. Yeah. And she said this question, and so many people have asked this question, I've asked this question. Where did we go wrong? Where did we go wrong? Well, we ask that question, don't we? But as you study the Bible, you find that Scripture says that the Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteous shall be upon him, the wickedness and the wicked shall be upon him. Each person has their own responsibility. I have permission to use this illustration. My daughter came to Christ at 18 years old. And we had been praying for her all of her life, but the last 6 years, we've been praying rather fervently because things were getting worse. And her world come to collusion, not conclusion, but a collusion. You know what cars have. And so we were talking in the living room, and she said, I really need help. I really need help. I'm in bad shape. I need help. I said, well, sweetheart, you want Dad to help you? She said, yes. So we started getting together. But I said, hon, I said, Mom and I aren't on any trip. But people ask this question, so I want to ask it. Where do we go wrong? Go wrong? You didn't go wrong. And Mama's over there and weeping, of course. She said, you're a beautiful mother. That's a New Zealand expression. When you go out to dinner, somebody's house for dinner, you say, thank you for the beautiful meal. And she said, you're a beautiful mother. Then she said, when I was 12 years old, I decided to rebel. Now, somewhere along the line, this dear sweet 21-year-old has decided to go out with this clown that drinks whiskey. You know? Folks, fellas, I honestly believe grown people do what they want to do. I honestly believe that. You know, people who want to come to this conference, come. Sometimes people say, well, I don't have the money. But I don't know how they get money to go duck hunting or ski hunting or skiing or what, but they can't, you know. People do what they want to do. And I do what I want to do. The idea is to change our wants. And then I shared with this dear sweet lady, I said, you know, maybe we don't understand the gospel. One of the best passages that's helped me in understanding the gospel is 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Paul said, for I delivered unto you the gospel which I also preached unto you, which also you have received, in which also you are saved, unless you have believed in vain. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, then he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Then he goes on to explain how he was seen of the 12, then he was seen of all the apostles, then he was seen of about 500, most of them are still alive. Last of all, he was seen of me. By the way, when you're going to start spreading a story that some fellow rose from the dead, you should have some witnesses. So that's the reason I think Paul broke out this 500 bit, see? When you got 500, that's a pretty good jury. He said, now I'm preaching to you the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, then he rose again the third day. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Dr. Ian Thomas wrote a little book, a booklet, The Saving Life of Christ. You see, when Christ died on the cross, he saved us from the penalty of sin. When he rose again, he is in the process of saving us from the power of sin. And when he returns, he shall save us or salvage us from the very presence of sin. 1 Peter 1:5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter 1:5 says you hadn't been saved yet. Well, what are you talking about? He's talking about saved from the presence of sin. Mike painted that beautiful picture last night on our corner. We live among sinful folks, and sin is all around us. And we don't necessarily take a person out of that area. It's all around us. But one day, he's going to salvage us. In my short visit in Uncle Sam's Yacht Club, I went to deep sea diving school, and I was a qualified salvage diver. Now, we salvaged a lot of stuff. What they did with it, I never know, but we salvaged it. And we made good money, you know. We got $5 an hour in those days for every hour, and gold was $2.50 an ounce, so you can estimate what that was. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we are being saved, in the process of being saved, by his life. And that's what we're the Navigators movement basically is helping people walk in Christ. Because as we help people walk in Christ, then we can help them live victoriously on their corner. We help them learn the gospel. The fellows took me and they said, now Crawford, what you want to do is learn the gospel. And they taught me 6 verses. The fact of sin, the penalty of sin, the penalty must be paid. It's paid by Christ. It's a free gift, but you must accept it. That little 6 verses. And I memorized those verses. And I used those verses with the first fella that I ever led to the Lord. I used those verses with this last fella that I led to the Lord. I just one way. I'm a one-way guy. Memorizing the scripture, learning the gospel, living victoriously over sin, the power that's in the risen Savior. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. By the way, I'm glad the kitchen was so cooperative to push lunch back to 1:30 something like that. But anyway. If you want to pray for me, you can pray for my eyesight. I have macular degeneration plus some other problems. And so my computer expert, my grandson down here, put on the computer, put John Crawford type. And it's that big type, but even it eludes me from time to time. Jesus said, it's necessary that I go away. And he says, I'm going away. He says, you know where I'm going, and you know the way. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? He says, Thomas, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the way. I am the road. You know the way. You know, the prophet Jeremiah exhorted the folks in Jeremiah 6:16. Yet the Lord pleads with you still. Ask where the good road is. The godly paths you used to walk in the days of long ago. Travel there. You'll find rest for your souls. But you reply, no, that's not the road we want. But that's the road you and I want. We want the good road. We want the good way. We want the highway. The old servant of Abraham said, blessed be the God of my master Abraham, who have not left destitute my master of his mercy and is of his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. I got out in the road. I didn't know where to go. But I got out there in the road and in the way. You know the Appian Way? I got on the road, the good way. And the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And we do want the way, and we do want the good road. He said, I am the way. Revelation tells us that one of the names of Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And his name should be called the Word of God. So the way is the Word. The way is the Bible. So we follow Jesus by following him through the Bible. And the Bible can answer all of our problems. It started way back in Genesis. Genesis 1:11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit field yielding fruit, after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Mike was hammering away last night on the seed, whose seed is in itself. And it was so. And 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. There's a group in America that I call them the do-gooders. They've got some land stashed away and you can't go in there. You know? They leave it to the birds and the bees and the snakes and stuff, you know? But God said, no, don't do that. He said, subdue it. Bring it under control. Farm it. Look after it. Don't let the limbs pile up so high that when the lightning comes, by the way, the great fires of the forest called by lightning, and burn, and it gets so hot. Those fires we had last summer were so hot, 8 or 10 feet away, the pine trees were exploding. It was so hot. Well, why? It's because it's been left alone and the rubbish piles up. I was talking to a forest ranger up in the mountains, and he said, what I wanted to do, I wanted to plant some grouse. I raised, at that time, for a hobby, I raised pheasant and guinea hens and some ducks and what have you, quail. And I was hunting grouse up in the high mountains, and there was not many grouse. And I asked the forest ranger, I met him way up there. I said, sir, I have a hobby of raising stuff, and I'd like to raise some grouse and maybe plant this area and might, you know, improve the population. He said, Mr. Crawford, it won't work. He says, the grouse, the mountain grouse, lives on a berry that grows on a bush. And the bush grows on burnt over land. And we don't have enough burnt over land. He says, the great fires of the earth started before man ever got here, you see. So God intends for us to look after this earth. And God intends for us to be fruitful and multiply. And whose seed is in itself. And last night, Mike was preaching to us how we have good seed that plants and multiplies. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Now then we've received Christ. Now then we're walking in Christ. and walking in victory through the Word. And I believe, fellas, that the Word of God will answer any and all of our problems. Our pastor shared with us the other day that there's as many divorces in the church as there is outside of the church. Well, you know, a lot of folks in church are Christians. You see? And so these Christians are getting divorced. Well, why? One reason is they're not getting help before they get married. Fellas, if you're single, most of you would like to be married sometime, get some help. Don't be afraid to go to seminars. Don't be afraid to read books on the subject. Don't be afraid to get some advice. I got help. I worked very closely with Doss, and several of my buddies had gotten married, and that's about the last we saw of them. They vanished into the woodwork or something. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to last out the cruise. So I was going to school over in San Francisco State, and met this little girl, and I thought she was kind of nice, and she was a Christian young woman, and so on. And Doss was in town a little later, and I asked Doss, I said, "Doss, I met this girl, and so on, so on. What do you think?" Well, he listened to my story, and he said, "No, John, no, no. No, John, that won't work. John, that'd break my heart if you did that." Well, she wondered what happened to me. See? I wanted so badly to last out the cruise. I wanted so badly to live a victorious life. I didn't pursue it. Time went on, and we bought Glenary, and there was a lot of fellas and girls there for training, and probably 35, 40 women, and pretty good selections, ages and sizes and what have you. See? And this gorgeous, gorgeous girl, and loved God. I mean, she was a real Christian. So one day I mentioned that to Dawson. I'd like to get better acquainted with her. "What do you think?" He said, "No, John. No. No, John. No. John, by the way, if it helped you any, you're number 4 in line. You know." 3 other guys had got the leading, you see. See. So I took a deep swallow and left and, pursued it. And time went on. And I got up to be about 30 and a little above and began to pray pretty hard. One day I had a respiratory problem and I didn't go to church. And so it was Sunday morning. And over in the fall, but I felt a little better. The sun came up, felt a little better after a while, and I thought, well, I'll just take my blanket and Bible and go and have some time with the Lord. Went over in the field there in Colorado and was praying. I was praying through John 12:24. "Except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And I prayed out loud. I said, "God, what is it that I need to do to die in order to get married, to find a wife? Lord, what is it? What is it I haven't put on the altar?" And the Lord laid on my heart, "Nothing." Then I kept reading. Got down at 26. "If any man serve me, let him follow me. If him I serve me, him will my Father honor." Really? And then Helen came to mind, and I saw her picture just like that. And I thought, Helen? I'd never dated her. I'd never talked to her other than just fellowship, you know? Huh. And I kept praying, kept reading. And then I thought, Lord, how do I know if I love her or not? I never felt any tingling or, you know, or, oop, there's a nice deal or something, you know? I was still thinking of the old days in the flesh. In case I'm dancing up here, I'm getting out of this rope. And the Lord laid on my heart, I'll take care of that. Well, I wanted to talk to Doss about it. But he was sick, and he was recuperating in Southern California. And he didn't come home and didn't come home and didn't come home. And I thought, well, I'll just mention it to Helen, and she'll say, well, John, I think you're a nice guy and all such as that, but let's don't spoil a good friendship with that kind of talk or something like that. See? So I mentioned to her that I'd like to get better acquainted, really, when I got well and so on, if she wouldn't be embarrassed. I'm nearly 10 years older than she, and I thought, you know, an old... And by the way, I didn't deceive her, because I look just like I do now. See? She knew what she was getting. You know, some girls think, ooh, this cutie, this good-looking man, I wonder what he's going to look like later on. Well, it was already later on, see? And I thought she would say that if you wouldn't be embarrassed. And she said, no, I wouldn't be embarrassed. I thought, well, that's kind of strange, you know? So we talked. Doss didn't come back. And finally I proposed to her. I said, Helen, I love you. And I want you to be my wife. But Helen, I want to apologize. This is a strange proposal. And it's not very romantic. And I'm sorry. I apologize for it. I want you to be my wife if it's God's will. And God's will, Helen, will be denoted by how Doss and Lauren, I was working with those two fellows, my elders. Lauren's my same age, but I considered him my elder because he was a deeply spiritual man. And I said, Helen, when I mentioned it to Doss, I said, I'm an older guy, and I just know he don't want a bunch of old bachelors on his hands all his life, you know. I know he'd just like for us guys to be married. So he might say, sure, John, that's a good idea. Let's do it. I says, if he says that, the answer is no. We won't get married. I says, Helen, unless he gets excited, the answer is no. Now, if you want that proposal, you got it. But I don't blame you for not accepting it. She says, John, wouldn't have it any other way. You know, a little bit of one-upmanship. So time come on, and I told Doss, and he said, well, John, you think you're in love? I said, Doss, I don't know. I don't know that much about it. Well, he says, I'm not just for it. And I thought, oh, no. Then he grabbed me and started crying and said, John, I'm 1,000% for it. John, it's the greatest thing I've ever heard. Then I start crying. God confirmed that. We've worked at it. Come July, we'll be celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary. You know? 35 years old. We talked about having children. Went, asked the doctor and so on, you know. He said, well, at your age, you should probably get on with it. Well, we didn't conceive, and, you know, finally 3 years went by, and she conceived, and we were so glad. And just, you know, just so thrilled. And we had a ministry in the Bay Area, Oakland, California. And carried the baby 9 months and went to the hospital. And finally, doctor come out. Dr. Reese, he is a godly man, a friend of ours. He said, John? I said, yes, doctor. He said, I'm sorry. He's dead. And he told Helen. Helen, it's a boy. She said, doctor, I didn't hear him cry. He said, no, Helen didn't cry. He's dead. You know, fellas, that really, really spoke to my heart. I was working on, so help my life, I was working on 1 Thess, 4:18, in everything give thanks, and for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I was working on that verse. I said, Lord, how can I give thanks? Well, the Lord didn't say figure out how you give thanks. He just said go ahead and give thanks. See? Lord, I thank you. So help my life, Lord. I don't know how and why, but I thank you, you know. Well, I made a decision that I would never fuss when I heard a baby cry. Because you see, fellas, when babies crying, you don't have a whole lot, you don't have a big problem. But when they don't cry, you see. Well, we prayed, and 2 years later, God sent us our son. So 5 years had gone by. 4 more years, we had a daughter. My daughter is 40 years old. You see, there's plenty of time to do everything, you know. Plenty of time. See? As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him in everything but marriage. I misquoted that, didn't I? No, walk ye him in everything. You see, John, my marriage is pretty well squared away. I just praise God for what he's done. But, John, I have a problem with finances. And I appreciate Jim's message, but I just have a problem with finances. Fellas, get some help. Read some books. Read The Millionaire Next Door. Read The Millionaire Mind. Our church has classes on finances to learn how to budget. Regardless of how little you make, learn how to budget. When I got married, we had a kind of a community set up, and our salary was $11 a week in board and room. And my wife was on staff, so $22. And as the babies come along, we got $5.50 for them. Finally, had two babies. I was getting $33 a week. High dollar now, see? You know? But we learned to budget. I told Helen, I said, sweetheart, we're going to give 10 and save 10. She said, we're not going to take $2 to the bank. I said, no, we're going to save it up till we get $10. We followed that basically. Now then, we give more than 10 and save more than 10. You know, house is all paid over thanks to you fellas, and kids are all out of college and so on, you see. Get some help, budget. If you make $30,000 a year and live on it, don't go in debt, then next year you make $35,000, you got 3% inflation, you ought to be looking at saving $2,000, unless you let your standard of living rise a little bit. If you're not careful, as you get a raise, you let your standing of living rise. You see? You should make a habit of giving a little and saving a little out of everything. I did. And I really like that idea. Get some help on finances. You might say, well, John, I've got some help, really. I'm doing all right. I need to learn, but I'm doing okay. But, John, I have a problem with lust. Get some help. You know, the Bible says lust wars against the soul. Proverb 4 says, let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, let all thy ways be established. 31:1 in Job, he says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Job said, I got my eyes squared away. You don't find me gawking. Now I've got to get my mind squared away. You see, somebody can see you if you're gawking. But no one can see you if your mind is lusting. Not only sexual lust, but you can lust after money. You may have a problem like I did. You may have a problem with anger. I did. It wasn't very often. Ever two or three months, 4 months, it would flare up. One night, we had a rally. We were down in New Zealand, and we had a rally, and a group of young people. We started off with a half a dozen or so, and we lived in a little house, and rented house, and small. And I met a businessman who just refurbished his house, Ken Pomeroy. I says, Ken, what do you say about using your house and your living room for the young folks? He said, John, we'd love it. So Ken and Rita let us use their house, and it wasn't long. We had around 50 young people. Every Friday night, I'd, you know, lay the hard word on these kids, and they were growing, and many of them missionaries today and pastors and so on. And Doug Parker had responsibility of setting it up. Doug was here last year. He missed it this year. He's a NAV rep now. And he fouled up. And so I came home, and I was talking to Helen. And I got more and more excited, you know. And she said, Daddy? I said, yes, sweetheart. She said, you know, I'm not in charge of the rallies. I said, I know that. She said, Doug's in charge of the rallies. I said, hon, I know that. Well, why are you railing on me? You know why I was railing on her? She's the closest thing to rail on, you know, when I had my venting problem, see? And I apologized. Walked out in the garden. In New Zealand, they have beautiful flower gardens. I walked out in the garden, and I said, God, I'm an angry man. God, I'm an angry father. God, I'm an angry husband. God, I'm an angry missionary. And I guess I'll be angry all my life, because I just can't break it. And fellas, it was as if the Lord said, John, I've been waiting a long time for you to come to this position. You don't have to break it. I'll break it, and I'll break it tonight. I've been working on 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. No, that's Timothy. It's gone. Quote it for me. Second Timothy. Where's Jim? Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Not that we're sufficient of ourselves. You may have a habit that you can't break, that you just hate with pure passion, but you practice it and practice it and practice it. Not that we're sufficient of ourselves. You see, the risen Savior. You see, when you and I were saved, we were born again. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. You see, Jesus Christ. Jesus told the disciples, he says, it's necessary that I go away. For if I go not away, the Spirit will not come. But if I go away, I'll send him unto you. When Jesus was here, he was infinite. He contained the Holy Spirit. He says, it's necessary that I leave. So he went to heaven. And when he went to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is infinite. Holy Spirit can infill every one of us and everybody that's ever been born, you see, because there's no end to God, you see. So we have this power, victory over sin. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Maybe you have another problem that I surely had, the problem of taking reproof or rebuke. I was raised by a dad that I thought had two personalities. Around home, he was the nicest guy you ever saw. He'd do his part of the chores. He'd chop the wood, you know, and draw the water, whatever had to be done. He didn't milk the cow. I did that. But he's a nice guy. But when we went to the work job, he was a different man. And I had to hit it just like the rest of those slaves, you know. And drive. I've told you some of the stories. Was laying brick down at Port St. Joe, Florida, and we were putting in curtain wall and pillows, and we were subcontractors, and the fellas had poured the footing, and it's about 4 to 6 inches below the surface of the ground. And we'd lay the bricks and put the pillows in, and then the carpenters come in and build the house. And we're laying them down, and it's below your feet. And I raised up one time, and Dad was over here, and we were working here, and I said, you know, Dad, laying these bricks down like this, working below our feet, when I raise up, I said, my back just kills me. He said, son, try not to raise up. You know? Well, that was his attitude, you see. If it hurts you to raise up, don't raise up, you know. One day I thought, you know, I don't have to work for Dad. I can get a job someplace else. I could have too. But if I stay with Dad, I'll be a better man, and I'll get there faster. I think I'll stay. And I did, and I did. Got saved. Went in the fleet. Fellas helped me. Later on, Doss invited me to the work. And I found Doss was similar to my father. I thought he had a double personality or whatever it was. And when we were out recruiting, he had on velvet gloves. Man, he was smooth as silk. See? And he'd get me, you know. He said, John, you're shooting your wounded. And so we would recruit and, you know. Then we'd get back home and go to work. He took off those gloves, you see. And He told me one day, he said, you know, John, I don't warm up on you. I just dump the truck. I said, well, Doss, it might seem strange, but I'm beginning to pick that up. Yeah, I've told you some of the stories, and you know, the exactness. I had to learn more than how to close the door of the car, you see. And I thought, you know, there's other places to serve the Lord besides the navigators. But if I stay with Doss, I'll be a better man and I'll get there faster. So I decided to stick it out. And I'm so glad I did. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 20, Proverbs 6, verse 20, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth it. No, I got you wrong verse. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Listen now. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And the Bible doesn't teach, well, I'll take it if I'm wrong. No. Bible says take it. That's all. Just take it. Just snap two, pop them heels together and salute. See? Just take it. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And I've talked to fellas who are bitter. My pastor preached a beautiful message last Sunday on bitterness. And you can get bitter. Don't tell me you can't. You can get bitter. You can be treated wrong. And you probably will be treated wrong. And you think, I'm right. No doubt you're right. But you still have to take it. Was Jesus right? He was treated wrong. And how did he take it? You know, Jesus was concerned about going to the cross. And he was heavy hearted. And he was going to die the next day. And he was with his disciples. You know what they were concerned about? Who's going to be chief honcho when this guy leaves? Who's going to be in charge? Who's going to be the greatest among us? And he knew their mind. And he said, you fellas, he said, let me help you. So he went over and he took a towel off the wall and he girded himself and he put a pail of water and he started washing their feet. He said, he that is greatest among you, let him be servant of all. Foot washing in that day, you know, they had some nice houses back in those days and Persian rugs and so on. And they walked in sandals and the feet would get dirty and dusty and they would wash their feet or take off the shoes and to walk on the rug. And so, but the lowest of the, servants had ranks, you know, but the lowest ranking servant had the job of washing the guest's feet. So he took the job of washing the guest's feet. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And fellas, you do it through the word. And let me lay on your heart, really be a student of the word. Really be a student of memorizing scripture. You see, what if I hadn't been memorizing scripture all this time? You know? How would I go now? I live on memorizing scripture. My quiet time is with a CD in a little CD player. I sit at my table and plug it in and I get the Bible reading because I can't read sufficiently. But I feed on my verses. Feed on my verses all the time. Just feed on my verses that I laid back there. Am I ever so glad that the fellas laid the hard word on me and helped me. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And because a person comes to Christ doesn't mean that they're going to live in victory. I used to be around with evangelists years back, and people would come forward, and the pastor or the evangelist would come, "Now, Lord, we commit these folks to you." Well, that's good. But the Lord seemed like he said, hey, I committed them to you. You don't commit them to me. You know, sometimes we take a little baby and we dedicate our little children. Lord, we give this baby to you. And he said, you got it wrong, kid. You got it wrong. I'm giving him to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for this good time, Lord. I thank you for these men. And Lord, I pray that you'll take the words and dwell them deep in our hearts. We might practice them day by day. And I thank you, Lord, for all the fellows that work at this conference. And I thank you, Lord, for all the miles that's been put in and all the energy that's put in to make this happen, to give us all such a rich time in Christ. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you.